Hello there.
This is an incoming transmission from the Outer Rim Beacon.
Everything leading up to this moment has been rehearsal. The real performance is about to begin. I'm counting on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have now tuned in to the Outer Rim Beacon, your frequency for everything in that galaxy far, far away. And oh boy, did we have some good episodes of Bad Batch this week. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Justin, one of the hosts of the show. Joining me today, as always, are my co-hosts.
This is Josh, and I would like to entitle this two-part episode event as Clonegasm 2024.
Nice. It had all the clones.
This is Kyle, and I fully support that. I'm going to start designing a t-shirt right now.
Perfect.
I have to see this t-shirt design when it's done. Very interesting.
I mean, think about it. We got so many name clones back in the mix, and you know, all the living members of the Bad Batch, and then Wolf shows up, like. Craziness. And you even got that one of those Republic trooper guys that I don't know their names because I've never played that game.
Scorch.
Sure. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, definitely Scorch.
Well, they have one in the ship.
But sir, they're traitors.
Yeah. They have Scorch is running around with
Scorch was the yellow one.
One of them's running around with Wolf. Yeah, Scorch is the gray and yellow one. He's the one that sent the assassin guy after the other one. But yeah, Wolf has one running around with him, and then there was another one on the ship with Echo when they were coming back. So I don't know. It's so confusing now, but it was tense. This week's episodes were tense. Like, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time because I was like, is Crosshair going to turn on him? Is the little spy guy
you
that
still don't
captured,
trust Crosshair? Really? Jeez.
I don't know, man.
The one that they captured, he was like making me think, oh, wait, what did they do to Crosshair that he's like really just,
he's the bad guy.
I was like, this is crazy. This is confusing. And then, you know, is the other guy Tech? Is that really Tech? We didn't see his face. He lived, obviously, but so much going on in this week's episode. So lots to talk about.
Whoa, I didn't even think about that might be Tech. You're killing me right now. My brain just exploded live on air.
I mean, he kept trying to hit that little data pad thing on his shoulder, right? Like, hey, but then it got busted after the explosion. Who knows? Viviana last week, as we read her email, was probably right. Maybe that's Tech. He's now an assassin guy. But that would seem like a really short amount of time to go through that program when that's the same thing that they were trying to do with Crosshair and it didn't work on him. So I don't know. Lots of questions, lots of unanswered questions, I guess, but lots to talk about with this week's episode. Before we get into that, let's dive into news and notes. First thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if you guys have read it, the Jake Lloyd article that came out this week. It was an interview with his mother. Yeah, it was exclusive to Scripps News, but it was picked up by other various news sources as well. She basically just provided an update on Jake Lloyd because he had a mental relapse or a mental issue last year. He is currently in a mental health rehab facility. He was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. He is about 10 months into an 18-month stay at this program. Read the article. What he was going through mentally is unreal. Like, he was seeing like people with like blacked out eyes. And saying like, you know, she said it started in high school, really. He was talking about two different realities. Like, one was the reality that we're all in and living, and then a completely other reality that was out there. And it took him a while to diagnose it. But they thought after high school he was better.
Hold on, in college it kind of picked up again. Not to make light of this, I'm glad he's getting help and on his way to like hopefully living a happier life. But in high school, he said he was experiencing two separate realities, and just now he's getting diagnosed with schizophrenia. Like, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I feel like someone could have connected some dots somewhere along the way.
Yeah, he's I think they said they misdiagnosed it initially. Apparently. And they gave him the wrong medications and nothing was working. And he did get a little bit better, and that's why they thought college was going to be a fresh start, but he got to college and that's when he started seeing the other people, or like the people with the blacked out eyes, and it just progressively got worse. And he's had just kind of on and off going issues for most of his adult life at this point. But I think whoever they must have visited diagnosed it correctly. They said, she said he's doing great in this program, though. He's showed immense signs of improvement. You know, and he had a lot of backlash from, you know, Phantom Menace when he was younger, and his portrayal of Anakin when Phantom Menace rolled out. And there was a lot of stuff, you know, I think when he was younger, bullying, things like that when he was a kid, that you never know, could have sent him down a mental state that, you know, affected him. And that's kind of where we're at today. And his mom did clarify, like, a lot of people think he doesn't like Star Wars, and she goes, oh no, he loves the new Star Wars stuff. He watches it. People think he hates Star Wars and he loves it. She is actually hoping that in the future he can get back into doing some of those Star Wars things that he likes to do.
So paranoid schizophrenia, when that manifests right around college age in men, so that that totally tracks. And it totally tracks that if he was showing signs of something when he was younger, before he got full onset later on, that they wouldn't have known what it was, or would have had trouble figuring it out. So yeah, all that tracks. And I mean, this is obviously, his trauma doesn't help, but this is also like a completely separate thing too, that's not even related to his Star Wars
stuff.
Yeah,
it's like a chemical thing that you can't like bully someone into. Yeah, but right. I obviously, Justin read way more of this article than I did, but the one little snippet I saw, I think, did specifically say, like, his mom said, this is fully and completely unrelated to anything to do with Star Wars or the reaction to his portrayal of young Anakin or whatever.
Yeah, it's not like directly tied to that, but
no, I don't doubt he has trauma.
He definitely caught some shit as a little kid for it. Yes, that, you know.
Yeah,
regardless.
But it'd be good, like, again, with everything that we've seen with Hayden and kind of people turning the page, you know, on Hayden and Ahmed.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and our boy Jar Jar.
Hopefully, we can kind of. Yeah, like, hopefully we can kind of turn the page here on this and get Jake Lloyd healthy first, and then hopefully back into some Star Wars stuff, because I'm sure there are a number of kids out there that were the same age as him that when they saw the character on screen, they instantly kind of gravitated towards him, you know, and it would be great for those individuals to you know, see him out in person.
Well, I'm sure he would get a great reception at Celebration, just like those other guys did, and that would be good for him.
Yeah, of course. Yep. And we do have the 25th anniversary of the Phantom Menace coming up. So hopefully, yeah, he's healthy and back in time for that. So very interesting article. Go read it. It's worth the read. But yeah, check it out. I think it was Scripps News again, but you can find it, I think, on People and a couple other various media sources. So
I'm pumped about this 25th anniversary, because I know it's going to drive my 20th anniversary figures value just through the roof, baby.
You keep that dream alive, Kyle.
I won't tell you when I'm a multimillionaire, but
there'll be signs.
Yeah.
Weird transition here, but a little bit of sad news. Michael Culver, who played Captain Nita, who famously gets choked by Vader, passed away at age 85.
That happened a long time ago, Justin.
It did. He lived a good full life. He was in a ton of other stuff, though, too. Just a bit of sad news there. It's hard when we see these characters that we, and these actors and actresses that we watched, you know, in these movies when we were kids, who were adults at the time, now starting to kind of fade out of our lives, and that's a little bit sad. So we had this, I didn't know if you guys saw this or not, this kind of came out of the blue, I didn't even know this was a thing. Imperial March Have you guys seen this?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? No.
Have you heard the news? StarWars.com posted a thing today. It's called Imperial March, which basically is a celebration of Star Wars villainy. It starts today, 3/13, and runs through the end of March, which there's only like, what, 2 or 3 weeks left of March. I don't know why we started this in the middle, but it's just kind of like what they were doing over the holidays with the Mandalorian stuff and pushing merch. It's the same thing, only it's villains.
They're inventing a holiday to sell us stuff on. Tale as old as time.
Pretty much, yes. Here's a full month of buying stuff. Jedi Fallen Order Black Series 3-pack, Second Sister Cal Kestis, Inquisitor Vision, and a Purge Trooper with an Electro Hammer. So two of those three figures are just repacks with a different weapon. Jazzwares, who makes Micro Galaxy Squadron, the small ships that are pretty cool. They've got an N1 Starfighter with Anakin and R2 coming out from Phantom Menace. And then I saw there's a multi-pack of troops in a vintage collection. It's like Enoch, the trooper with the gray helmet, yeah. And then two of those Night Troopers. That's a 4-pack coming out.
And Enoch figure would be cool.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
I can't believe
cool.
We don't already have an Enoch figure. I don't know why that wasn't part of the first wave.
Justin and I saw a couple Enoch helmets, custom jobs down at the Lexington Comic and Toy Con last weekend.
Mm-hmm. The paint job was a little rough. I'm not gonna lie.
It wasn't the best one I've ever seen. Wasn't the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah. It probably was the best Enoch I've ever seen. It was the only one.
Yeah. And then there's some High Republic downloadable poster set that's free. So you just go to
free is great. I got a great question for you and or anyone who knows about this, but what am I going to do with a downloadable poster? Do I print it off on 8.5 by 11s and tape it together at my house? Make it my phone background? At that point, isn't it just a phone background? I don't think I get it.
They just want you to like download it, put it on your phone, and then hang it on your wall.
Okay. Hang my phone on the wall?
Hang your phone on the wall. Okay. Hang your tablet on the wall.
I'm all about wall art, but I don't think I understand the downloadable poster. Is it an NFT? Is it on the blockchain? Is this a fungible token? Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Nope. No, I don't think so.
I don't know any of those words you just said.
Me neither. I mean, I know they are words.
I also know that.
Fungible.
I know they are related to each other in
those two things I know. Yes, that's it.
Francisco, that's a fun name. There was some other stuff that dropped today. Heroes and Villains has a whole line of Thrawn merch that dropped.
I'm looking at it right now.
Pretty cool.
I just can't justify
$32 for a t-shirt. That's ridiculous.
They love to throw out like, here's this awesome hoodie, $125. Give me a break. I'm not doing that.
No. There are people that buy it though.
Yeah, they've been at that price point for a long time.
Give me $12 TeePublic shirt any day.
I got every one of those Planet crewnecks that they have on Black Friday. Well, I got some of them, and then I went back and bought the rest. That's how nice they are. So I will say,
high quality.
Yeah, no, I mean it's not for lack of, it's not bullshit. Like they're I think the stuff's still overpriced, but.
I'm sure they're paying to license the IP as well, because it is like actually Star Wars branded and Marvel branded and stuff like that. But still,
yeah,
I'm not buying a $40 t-shirt. I'm just not doing it.
No, crazy. I'll tell you what I would be willing to buy for $45
pre-tax and shipping
dollars. Pre-orders for the 4K versions of Kenobi and Andor. Were $55 down to $45 now.
The Blu-ray of the shows?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's a digital version.
Isn't it already
too.
In 4K on Disney Plus? Are they about to take it away? I don't think.
Oh, and I'm wasting my money on t-shirts, Justin.
I don't think I understand this either.
I don't think it's in 4K on Disney Plus. I don't think it is. I don't know.
Josh,
I don't have
are you already
TV.
Googling this?
Huh? No.
Are you already Googleizing this? Yeah.
He said, right. He's like, I ain't gonna waste my time.
I'm not wasting time on that. Okay. I Google Star Wars background universe stuff. I don't Google weird stuff Justin brings up.
Is Kenobi in 4K on Disney Plus?
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I believe it is, so that's all that matters. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. That's, you know, the way of the world.
And then the last little bit I had for this week's news and notes, Kyle and I got to journey down to Lexington, Kentucky. We got to go to Lexington Comic-Con. Good time. Not very big, but I will say the artists that were there and the vendors were very cool. We met some really cool people. Some of the cosplays were pretty good that I saw.
There was tons of cosplay.
There was a lot of it. Yeah.
And I will say they had some good guests, but it wasn't people that were really in our wheelhouse, you know. They had the three ladies from was it Charmed? They had James Vanderbeek, they had a bunch of My Hero Academia people. You know, they did have two American Gladiators people, which is sort of in my wheelhouse. But, you know, they had some good celebrities. It was just not anything that we were super interested in, unfortunately. They have had some great guests in years past. I had a really cool interaction with Cal Dodd there last year, but not as we had a good time. We had fun, spent a little money, whatever, but. Didn't get any autograph. Actually, not true. I did get one autograph from David Lloyd on my V for Vendetta graphic novel, and he did like a remark. He drew like the profile of, you know, the Guy Fawkes mask V, which was really cool. $15 steal.
That was a steal.
For an autograph and a remark on, like, you know, one of the probably 10 most famous graphic novels of all time. That was really cool. I'm glad we got that. I had fun hanging out with Justin, though. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good weekend. We ate some good food.
I was just gonna say we went to the goodness. I can't remember the name of it now off the top of my head, but
Carson's.
Yeah, we went. Shout Carson's. Out to Carson's in Lexington. We had what I would say the best ribs I've ever eaten. They were delectable.
If you lived in Lexington, would you go there daily?
Not daily, because this was like a $50 meal, but yeah. I'd go regularly. Yeah.
So you wouldn't go to the Carson daily?
Yeah. Is this where I'm supposed to put in the Total Request Live theme song? I wouldn't even know it if I heard it.
I wouldn't either.
No. I'm impressed that I remember that show.
Good. The bartender, who was kind of our waitress too, like we ate at the bar, absolutely knew her stuff. Great suggestion in the ribs and the rib shrimp combo, if you will. Delicious. Had a little bit of jalapeno on there too, which makes it even better. Bitter than Eva.
Bitter than Eva.
Had to work that in there. Yeah. So, it was a good weekend. You know, parking was a little bit crazy, but
yeah, there was a concert and there one day, and then there was a basketball game the next day. And since it was at Rupp Arena, there was a lot going on with the parking, but the con runs real smooth. We had press passes, so it cost us $0 other than parking, which actually I will say, the parking debacle on the second day did result in both of us parking on the street for $0. So,
free.
Hindsight, it wasn't the worst thing. Yeah, well, it wasn't that far of a walk. Yeah. It really just took us like 25 minutes of circling around to find something. It was a fun weekend. I've been there like three or four times. We'll go back again. And speaking of cons, especially cons that are local to me specifically and all of us, I sent this to Josh already, but they just announced today that in October at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, the one and only Katie Sackhoff will be appearing live and in person.
Woohoo!
Only 15 minutes from my house.
When is that?
That's not till like October, I think.
Oh, because she's going to be at Motor City Comic Con in May.
Yeah, and I think she's going to be at C2E2 as well, right?
Maybe, yeah.
So, like, by the time...
I'll meet her every time.
Same. No. And so, by the time we see her here in Cincinnati, like, we'll already She'll have our names. A rapport. Yeah. It'll be great.
You guys will be on a first-name basis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She'll be rolling her eyes as soon as we come around the corner.
Kyle.
It'll be great. Yeah.
This freaking guy.
Yeah. Oh, here come the two percenters.
The two percenters. No, by that week, she'll know we're the 0.5%.
I don't even want to know what that means.
Mm. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's all I got for news and notes this week. Let's dive into what we're really here to talk about, which is a little bit of Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
Beta than Eva. These were definitely my two favorite episodes of the season so far.
That's right where I was going before we even dive into the other stuff. Just thoughts off the top of your head, what you guys thought about these two episodes put together this week.
Best of the season.
Yeah, by far. Yeah. But Beta than Eva. Nothing wrong with the first, five episodes, but they were kind of just set up, in my opinion, not too exciting. But this had a little bit of everything. We had some like espionage intrigue. We're moving the plot forward. There was plenty of action, like some like poignant, heartfelt moments. It was beautiful. I think this is everything you want to see in Star Wars animation.
And this is Bad Batch. This is like the clones, like duking it out, like where we're at.
I think this is kind of what we were really wanting when they announced this show. Like, tell us what happened to all these clones after the fall of the Republic.
Yep. Exactly. You know, Rex is still fighting the good fight, but he's still losing guys. It's left and right. Yeah. You know, that's what Hunter's saying. He's like, you can't win this. And we just keep throwing people at him and they just keep knocking us out. So it's a challenging fight, but he's going to keep going. Go ahead, Josh.
Sorry, remind me, is Cody's AWOL right now?
Yes. Yes. He went AWOL on Rampart.
Yeah. Okay.
In season two. After his mission with Crosshair.
He's got to show up by the finale, right?
You hope, and I hope it doesn't turn out bad, because you know where Cody's not is cruising around in the desert in Rebels.
Well, so they give him a reunion, and then he's the martyr in the last episode? Yeah.
I don't know.
Serves him right, trying to kill Obi-Wan, bastard.
I was just going to say, isn't that kind of justifiable, considering he tried to kill
Karma
Obi-Wan?
Exists in the Star Wars universe.
That's not to say that those three clones are the only clones left in, you know, the galaxy. Maybe Cody and a bunch of them, you know, rode off into the sunset and tried to just live under the radar, and they probably die kind of young because of the accelerated aging. Who knows?
Yep. And we got our favorite senator back in this week's up in these two episodes. We got
Chooch?
The Chooch. Love her character, man. I love that she's kind of doing a
You were like our favorite senator. I was like, sure, Brown's not in this episode.
Bail Organa?
One of our favorite, okay. Maybe we should rephrase, Mon one Mothma? Of our favorite senators. Okay. Sorry.
I'm the only one that wanted to list a real person.
Oh, okay. Who did you say?
I said Sherrod Brown, because we all live in Ohio. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, she's, I like
Don't make it political.
Appears. She's got good stuff, man.
Sherrod Brown's the Democrat that even some of the Republicans like. It's fine.
Yeah, well, they're all the same.
I just don't know the other person's name. Like, that's the reason I said Sherrod's name.
They are. They're all the same.
All right. Well, let's dive into our observations, Jedi Master observations for this week. Who wants to take a stab first?
I'll go first because I can knock them out like pretty quick. I don't have tons to say about them. But I will say the animation, I already kind of mentioned it when we first started talking about it, but especially at the very beginning of episode 6, Infiltration, when they're in Coruscant and they're escorting the Raxus senator to meet Senator Chuchi. It just looks so gorgeous, and there is so much detail. And like when they've got the sniper, they're zooming in and they've got all this depth of field, and it's just the varying focus. It's just so, so gorgeous. And it's come so far. If you've been playing the Star Wars game for a long time and you've watched season one of Clone Wars, like episode 6, season 3 of The Bad Batch, it's a whole other thing. Like the,
yeah,
whatever they were doing back then isn't even capable of making what they're doing now. It's just, it looks so, so, so good. And I know Justin's got a gripe on this later, and I do agree with that point, and we can get to that then, but so much of it just looked so, so good. And I feel like they like really went the extra mile, especially in Coruscant, really making it look beautiful. We don't spend tons of time there, so it's good to like really see it when we see it.
I thought it was, just to mention what you mentioned, I thought it was really cool how they like opened the episode with us seeing through the sniper lens of the enemy. That was pretty cool. I feel like, just to piggyback on your whole point, sometimes like when I go back to the older Star Wars stuff, it feels like when you're playing like an old video game.
For sure.
It's like the, you know, I don't remember these graphics being so bad.
Yeah, well, like when Tomb Raider came out on PlayStation 1, it was the greatest thing you ever saw. But if you turned it on now, it'd be like, oh my God, how does it even, I don't even know what's the person and what's the wall.
What are these geometric shapes doing? it's literally crazy. Like a bunch of geometric shapes put together.
But yeah, that opening of Infiltration, we got so many different points of view and so many different angles and elevations and like sight lines. It was, from a certain point of view, it was really, really, really gorgeous.
I'm interested in your next one, because you've got Raxus listed here.
Well, like, Raxus was the location of a pivotal Clone Wars episode, Heroes on Both Sides. This is where Padme is trying to, like, secretly reach out to some separatist senator friends of hers and kind of like get the ball rolling on a ceasefire. She takes Ahsoka with her, and this is where Ahsoka first starts becoming like disillusioned with the war and realize, you know, like it says, heroes on both sides. Like the separatists are just people, and they're trying to do what they believe is best for their people. They're not just soldiers, they're not just droids, you know, which is the impression that these young Jedi were brought up to believe, because it makes it easier to just chop them down that way, I'm sure, you know. So I thought it was really cool. I love to see Senator Chuchi. She's got this like really great story arc going on in this last season of this show, but for her to reach across the aisle to that specific senator, I thought was like a really cool touch, because, you know, that planet or system or whatever hasn't been brought up a ton. So that's like a cool little callback, I think. It could have been anything. It could have been some senator we've never heard of, but they chose to do that instead.
I think that's what he said to her at one point, was regardless of what we were doing at the time or how we wanted to achieve it, our goals, I think, as different peoples were the same, which was completely independent planet or system freedom, basically. Like we should be able to choose that, not just be thrown into something that we don't want to be a part of.
Well, and of course, in hindsight, they were all getting played. So
So, what's your last one here, Kyle?
Captain Rex. I'm a big Captain Rex guy. Woo! Love to see it. My personal favorite
Sexy
clone.
Rexy.
That's like very easy to say, you know, but he's awesome. And he was back being confident, kicking butt, chasing down operatives. trying to talk people off the ledge and show them the light. I'm always down with Captain Rex. Give him more screen time. Give him his own spinoff. I'm into it.
Were you guys a little nervous? Like, because when Hauser's kind of pressing him to like, hey, you know, Omega might know a little bit more than what she's letting on, and same with Crosshair, right? And then, you know, you see Rex there and he kind of hangs his head like he's contemplating it. And then the next thing you see is the Bad Batch is on the on Echo's ship, and they're like flying to meet Rex, and he's not really telling him anything. He just said, oh, it's urgent. We got to get you over here. I don't know what Rex wants. And he like drops him off. And then obviously there's tension there, right? And then like Echo is hanging back in the ship for a minute there. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, what is about to transpire
here? He was
being
real cagey about it on the way there.
Yeah, it seemed like they were almost setting him up to like just take all of them and kind of do the questioning to them. And then when Tech kind of calls Omega, like, oh, hey, I got you this cool pump action crossbow looking thing. Here, and she's like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. And then she runs back over and... What?
It's an energy crossbow. Don't you know anything?
Yeah, her energy crossbow. Her pump action energy crossbow.
I mean, he just called Crosshair Tech, so I mean, what do you want from him?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. So, you know, when they've got... you know, it's like, well, what are they going to do? You know, it seemed like he was setting them up there for a hot minute, and then in actuality it was like, no, okay, we're on the level. But
they were just being secretive because they didn't want Crosshair to know that he was the, you know, they were going to question him or whatever. But it was a little weird, I thought.
Yeah. Josh, what about you? What about your Jedi Master observations this week?
I just... What's a... How does the aging work? Like, what is the time period that's passed? Because I feel like
don't overthink.
They all look the same right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Like, how many years until we see them again? 20?
Well, this is right now. We're like 19 years 15? Before the Battle of Yavin. So then we'll see them. We see Rex and Gregor and Wolf when they're kind of old and a little softer in the middle. That's what, like 5. BBY, so it's like 14-ish years from now, right? Am I saying all those numbers right?
Yeah. Rough decade and a half for those guys.
Well, also keep in mind,
like maybe it's like 30 years for them. And
well,
you know,
remember how old years. How old do they look now? Right, they're 30-ish.
Yeah,
35 maybe, and Omega is technically older than them. Remember, she just reminded them that of the other. So in the first 10 to 15 years of their life, they've aged somewhere from 30 to 40 years. So I don't know. That's not that crazy, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It was just something I wanted to talk. I thought it would
you
be
just got extrapolated.
A fun thing to talk
about. It was just a fun thought I had. I don't know. Cran-teenies,
that's what it's
apple
supposed
teenies.
To be.
Maybe they're all part of the teeny family.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is just, it's an observation. It's something to talk about. It's not, it doesn't have to be.
And here we are talking about it. It works like a charm.
Yeah. Suck it.
No, I think that they are about to start getting real old real fast, you know, because they're middle aged and they're like not as old as what's Omega, 12? Something like that. 12, 13?
I think so, yeah. They're like twice as fast as she,
at least.
2 to 3 times as fast, so it'll be interesting on the back end. And some of those clones that were in the in Tantus looked even older than they do. Mm-hmm.
Well, and who's to say it's not necessarily linear either? You know, like do they age up real quick and then it slows? You know, do they age at some sort of accelerated rate the whole time? You know, it would make sense like that they get to adulthood quickly and then start to age more normally later. You know,
they have surge aging like Wendy's in their surge.
Well, no, the I just think if you think about it practically, the point of them is to be soldiers. So you want them to be adults right away, but then you don't want them to be old men right away. You want them to be adults fighting age for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one gotcha. Josh, did you have anything else or?
I did, but it floated away. It might come back.
Okay.
You know what? I'm getting married in a couple days. You leave me alone. I got a lot of stuff floating around. I won't.
I know.
Not gone.
Josh has been a busy man. Busy, busy man. I just enjoyed all the clones, man. That's the only observation I had. It was nice to get named clones back in there. Wolf, Fireball, Greer, Hauser, Kilo, Samson.
Fireball's a big Pitbull fan.
Mr. Worldwide. Dalek!
Yep, yep. He was very popular with Batcher, apparently. I think, wasn't that Fireball that Batcher was like licking? She goes, oh, don't worry. He only bites half the time.
I'm still not like, sold on that name of that animal.
Betcha.
Yeah. Let's see. Bad Batch. What'd be a good name for the pet for the Bad Batch? Bad Batch. Batcher. Yeah. Perfect. Got it. Nailed it. You didn't even mention Hauser. The return of Hauser. Sham Syndulla's right-hand man.
Doogie Hauser.
Doogie.
Greer, Hauser, Hilo, Samson, all of them. Hottie Hauser, whatever you want to call him. He's an attractive looking clone with his haircut there. Mm-hmm.
The last time we saw Hauser was like another pivotal episode, Tipping Point, season two. Sarah Chuchi was like getting her her espionage on in that episode as well.
I'm going to put a plea out here to Hot Toys. I'm going to need a new clone Commander Wolf, please, because the only one that they've ever made is like $600 to $1,000, and I don't want to pay that money. So please put a new one out so I can get the new one, because he's like my favorite. So,
yeah, I thought of you when he popped up on the screen. I knew you would like that one.
Yep. As we were just talking about him last week, I was like, I figure it's got to be a matter of time before we start seeing these other clones in there. And sure enough, we got him this week. So was happy to have that. So there, and it, he's got a whole, he's got like a little battalion of clones, phase two clones with him. So they're still using them, but they have them on a recon team, not on a, like a frontline fighting thing. They're on a reconnaissance group.
Well, there shouldn't really be interesting. Much frontline fighting now, right? The war's over.
Right. Yep. They don't have them at, let's rephrase that. They don't have them as Imperial occupiers, which are the stormtroopers. Right. There we go. Is that better?
Suppression forces. Yeah, they're not doing suppression
forces. Thank you.
Forces.
Yes. Yep. Let's go to our kind of dark side here. Our brother, the brother Pickanitz, if you will. I'm going to go first on this one. Parts of the animation to me were just a little bit dark, so it was a little hard to see. At times, the animation, you're right, Kyle, was absolutely beautiful through the whole thing. The style and the speed and how they can do that now is just amazing to watch. But there were parts that were really, really dark. So it was kind of hard to see what was going on. I was like, is that my screen brightness or is it just dark?
Yeah,
I jacked it up and it was still kind of dark.
I don't know if we're getting old or what. I feel this way about like a lot of TV. Basically, if it's on TV and it happens at night, I can't fucking see it ever.
Yeah, it's like all dark.
Like Game of Thrones, half the time I'm like, what are they doing? Like it all just looks black to me. But I'll agree.
They were
with
either
that.
Murdering or having sex. It was
Game of Thrones. And I want to see both of those things. Light it up, bro. Specifically. But this whole episode took place at night, and they were inside their like poorly lit kind of makeshift spire, battle station, whatever, fortress. Lots of not that easy to see.
Yep. That was the only one I had. Josh, did you have any?
Just a little stupid one, but at the end, that whole sequence with Wolf and the trust and the, letting him go and everything. But then they go back on the ship and then they all walk onto the ship and then turn around and then the door shuts. Yes. I was like, what is that?
Yes. Who does that?
Did you see it, Kyle?
No, I don't think so. Oh, they were just like standing in the cargo bay, when the ship took off.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like all like walked
up the
ramp.
It didn't just show them like walking up and the ship's taken off. It was like they walked up and then as the door shut, they all snapped around and stood the same way they were standing when they landed. It's like, why?
It was every trooper, not like just Wolf.
It seemed like robotic too. It wasn't like they were like, oh, we're all going to look back at them before we leave. It was like this weird like, ha! Like quick.
About first.
I saw it. Yep.
No, I missed that.
I was about to put the same thing in there. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. Kyle, what do you got?
I think what's up with Crosshair's shaky hand? Like in the first episode, they made a whole point of it. Like he couldn't hit his target. Maybe this wasn't the first episode, but earlier in the episode, he ended up just shooting like the explosive thing because he was like shaking his hand, whatever. It wasn't working. And then later he like the pilot of the ship that was in like low atmosphere, he shot him through the windshield, through the heart, one shot, one try, and the whole thing like went. So like, what's up with the handshake? Just, is it situational? Like, I guess that was one of the lucky 53% of the shots. I don't know.
I think it's one of two things. I think it's the mom lifting the car to save the baby, or because they've done a couple story beat things in like the quickest way possible, you know, like when they had, you know, two clones are mad at each other. Oh, we had them save each other and then have a look. Okay, now they're friends again. Like, so, oh, like we're going to show you his hand thing a couple more times. And then like, now that the family is all back together and they really needed him, he's overcome it. And now he's going to be good.
I'm interested to see if that's the end of it. It's going to be kind of like a much ado about nothing if it is. But you're right. They've done that a few times. He did have like that really, they kind of like, I don't know. We already knew this, but Crosshair did like have a bit of a moment where he said the whole thing, where he like really laid it out about what was the end of the end for him with the Empire, where he said, "You loyalty for me goes both ways, and but with the Empire, or no, loyalty meant something to me, but with the Empire it didn't go both ways," something like that. So he like finally like explained to everyone his whole deal, and they were like, "Well, yeah, duh, we all figured that out. That's how everybody feels." So he had his like little moment. Maybe that was all he needed.
Well, and it all ties in with how he's like so well bonded with Omega now, because she, through everything that happened, never gave up on him. And he's like, "Oh, wow, okay, yeah." When I thought no one else was loyal, here's this little girl that should not be loyal to me for any reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool. I like that's like, I wouldn't have thought at the beginning that a relationship between those two would be one of my favorite things of the show by the end.
Yeah.
It's like Ahsoka, you know?
Yeah. Good point.
Question before we wrap this up. Do we think that all those clones died? Since, you know, like, he had a whole crew. Like, they were cooking dinner. There was people running around, checking comms, doing things, da-da-da, whatever. And by the end, it was the Bad Batch, Hauser, Rex... And that's about it, right? Was there anybody else left?
Yeah, it seems like everybody in his crew that didn't have plot armor is gone.
Did they lose? I mean, there was a couple sort of named people in there, but did they, I mean, they lost a whole chunk of them there.
Yeah. Did he lose the one when they were escorting the senator too? Did he get taken out in the kitchen?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Actually killed?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't clear. Because I thought he was just strangled.
Kind of knocked out. Like,
knocked out.
He got choked out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it again. I only got one watch.
Well, if he survived that, he did not survive the next episode. So it's like six of one, half dozen.
These two paired together was a nice chunk of time. And it felt like a movie. Like, honestly, it really did kind of feel like a piece of a movie. So
I don't know. I'd have to go. I was like, why aren't more episodes like this?
Yeah,
it was good.
It made sense to me that they went together too, because I think the second one would have felt like
one long episode.
Yeah, they just really fit together well. The first one would have felt a little like anticlimactic, and the second one would have felt like just kind of running around shooting at each other the whole time.
Wait, Excuse me? The first one would have felt anticlimactic. It would have ended with Wolf.
That was the second one.
No, that was the first one. The first one where the reveal of Wolf as the recon team.
Him.
And that would have been your cliffhanger been for cliffhanger. The week. That would have been
that's true.
Pretty sweet, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I was like, oh, no. And then I was like, oh, there's one more. Yeah.
there was a part there where when Crosshair is fighting the assassin in the river, and I thought Crosshair was gone because, like, you see him just stop. His face just stops moving underwater. And I was like,
he started drowning real
he
fast.
Just drowned.
He's
I was like, did we just
capacity.
Have him drown Crosshair? And then obviously Hauser comes to the rescue.
Yeah, how it's What'd weird how well I said he started drowning really fast. He's got to work on that, you know, lung capacity, I guess. But yeah, it was funny to me how, like, right when that happened, he's on the one side of the rock, and I know I truly do know rivers and waterfalls, and they can all be like you never know where it's deep and where it starts moving fast or whatever. But he's like slipping off this rock, about to fall off, drowning, and like everybody else just on the other side of the rock is standing in like ankle deep water, just reaching over, grabbing him. I'm like, maybe you could just stand up, bro, or does it get real deep on the other side of that rock?
That current was moving pretty quick.
And it probably was. Like,
it
was about to fall off the edge of a waterfall, but, like,
yeah,
it was just kind of funny.
He did. He expelled a lot of energy chasing the assassin who...
Yeah, I'm sure he was tired.
Yeah, got the best of him there a little bit. Almost had him, and then...
Yeah, apparently those...
I did like the...
Those operatives or whatever apparently are just, like, badass.
Yeah. And they only apparently they only activate them if some they're like one at a time.
Yeah, which
I
and like was what's happening when it's or it's like you've been activated just means like you've been given orders or whatever. But he definitely said like, why have I been activated? And that makes you wonder like, we're a living, breathing person. What are you doing when you're not activated? What does that even mean? Like, are they throwing you and in like some chamber like they had? Echo in where you're just like in stasis or something or what's going on here, but Crosshair gave like
a sleeper cell thing
could be
like,
yeah
mental
like
activation or whatever
they say the code word and then they're activated or whatever. But he Crosshair gave like a whole explanation of what those things are, but they're like they've got the whole kit and all the I don't know, they're just formidable. Like even
did you see
I don't understand why he's being so cagey about information.
Who, Crosshair?
At this point. Yeah.
I think he just doesn't know that much more. Although, why didn't he give up all this stuff
about these
operatives?
Well, no, he was like,
one
more thing
operatives.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the thing they keep asking...
You have all the intel
like,
you need for this episode.
Right. The thing they keep asking, where is Tantus? Like, it makes sense that he might not know that. He was a prisoner, like, you're on a ship. You don't, especially if they go through hyperspace, like you wouldn't necessarily know where that is.
I know one guy was like, you were there for so long and you don't know where. I was like, what do you
mean?
What
does that even mean? Yeah. Do you think they have the prisoners punching the coordinates into the hyperdrive? You fool.
Or he's like
you
walking
simpleton?
Down a hallway. They have one of those maps at the mall that says you are here.
Yeah.
Like
you buffoon.
I don't think that's how it works. let's go to our Thank the Maker segment here. I'm going to go first on this one. I just shout out David W. Collins. He got the lone stormtrooper voice in Extraction, the second episode. David Collins has hosted several Star Wars celebrations. He's done a lot of sound work, for Star Wars. So it's nice to see that he's got a character in there. I think he's played a couple other ones, but just kind of nice to see that nod. And then the lovely Wilhelm scream when the two troopers fell out of the ship.
That. I saw that. I heard that.
Yeah. Always enjoy that. Love when they throw those in there. So I thank the maker.
If you know,
for
you know.
Yeah. Who wants to go next?
Well, the Wilhelm scream is what I was going to say. So I have to go ahead, Kyle. I'll think of something else.
Mm. I liked when Wolf met Rex and he was like, hey, I thought you died. I heard you died in this whatever crash. That's obviously a reference to the series finale of the Clone Wars, which yeah, is cool. One of the greatest episodes of television ever, full stop. So I love that they brought that up. I think like you didn't have to say it, but for those of us who like are super into this, that was really cool. To just have that little quick conversation.
Mm-hmm. Josh, did you think of anything else in that? I mean, short...
that whole end interaction was like, so it turned me into Justin for a second. I was like, oh, clones.
Look at me caring about troopers.
Look at me caring about these clones.
Yeah.
They get you, man. They get you. They hit you. They tug on the heartstrings. They do. Do we think Wolf is now like an inside man here for, or do we think it was just a one-shot thing and then Rex is like going to try to...
Well, I think obviously he comes around because we know he's part of the trio in
he's going to get narked on and they're going to have to save him, I bet.
Yeah, I think he's like...
Oh, good point.
That's not the kind of thing with, like, you're in an Imperial ship with a whole battalion or whatever company of troopers. I don't think you could just be like, you know what, Rex, you're right. Let's go. Now I'm with you guys. Like, he'd have to, like, think about that and get some kind of exit strategy and whatever.
Maybe he goes AWOL with Cody.
Something.
Yeah. I don't know. All right.
Well, let's just go on to, he had too many witnesses. I mean, someone's gonna tell.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about just to wrap up. Do you guys want to touch on anything else with these two episodes this
week? Well, I've got one last thing right at the very end. There, I feel like, did they set up what the last half of this series or season of the series is going to be about? Rex is all in on, we got to get these clones out, we got to rescue the prisoners from Tantus, and he specifically said, and I think Hunter agreed with him, you got to figure out why the Empire wants Omega so bad if you're actually going to be able to keep her safe. But to me, that's basically the same thing as, we got to find Tantus. You know, isn't that where the answer to that question about the M counts and why they want Omega and all that stuff, isn't that all going to be there? You know, but is that what we're doing the second half of this season? Is we're just finding out how to get to Tantus. We're going to pick up some details about what this M count and the M count transfer. You know, they're going to inform us about that a little bit. And is Rex going to be part of the crew for the rest of the season? Because, you know, the rest of his other people are all gone and he's on the ship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on if the guy that does the voice is available, you know.
But in case you didn't know, that's a joke because it's one guy that, whatever, go on.
No, I think you're right. The M count, right? Like, that's, Rex kind of knew something about it, but not really. So maybe that's where Hunter goes, hey, we got to go figure out what the hell an M count is. Or maybe we can find some sources that know that. Maybe a little visit to Dex's diner.
Hmm.
Rex knows someone who knows.
Talk to a guy that knows some things.
Rex has an old friend real who knows.
Yeah. Real quick,
I was going to say, what'd you say?
Darth Vader.
Well, or Ahsoka Tano.
That's what I was thinking, is Ahsoka.
Because if you're talking midichlorians, at some point you gotta consult a Force user.
You gotta be around.
put that in the net.
Real quick, I pulled up the remaining episode names just because, so, and how they're releasing these is kind of interesting. So after these two, you've got two singles, so you've got next week and the week after, and then there's two put together Identity Crisis and Point of No Return, and then it's back to one and one and then two, one and one. So it's kind of interesting how they're releasing these, but the remaining episodes, the titles don't really give much away as far as what's going to happen. There is one, episode 9 is titled The Harbinger, which is kind of interesting. Identity Crisis, Point of No Return, Juggernaut, Into the Breach, Flash Strike, and The Cavalry Has Arrived. And then next week's is titled Bad Territory.
So did you just read those in reverse order like a psycho?
No, I just didn't read Bad Territory, which is next week.
Oh, okay.
The rest of them were all in order. Sorry. Yeah, no. Did not do that. So, yeah.
I blacked out after you said Juggernaut because I was just like, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
I heard Into the Breach, which is probably not going to be good. The Cavalry Has Arrived. That sounds like a whole bunch of clones. Or
point of No Return doesn't sound good either. Yeah. Flash Strike. That kind of sounds like
I wish they named them like Friends episodes.
The one.
And then we could have one. The one where Hondo shows up.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, I'm down.
See the cavalry?
Hondo!
Hey!
I hate to say it, but I fear that our opportunities for Hondo to have cameoed in this show may have already passed.
I know.
That's cool, as long as we get him in live action.
Man, that would be great.
Maybe Hondo knows something about an M count.
Seems unlikely, but it's possible.
He had friends who are Jedi.
He thinks they were friends.
They were friends, yes. All right, well, let's dive into something that's got you excited this week so we can wrap this up.
Are you trying to say he wasn't friends with Ezra Bridger, a.k.a. Jabba the Hutt, a.k.a. Lando Calrissian?
What I was actually doing was showing off my Clone Wars / animation knowledge and directly quoting him because he said, well, I think we were friends.
Very true.
So, go off, King.
Let's dive into what we've got going on this week, or what's got us excited for this week that is not Star Wars related. And after my last week one, I got a better one this week.
What's good? Juice?
Thanks for coming prepared.
Yeah, I'm good to go this week. So, Kyle, I'm gonna start with you first here.
Me.
So.
I actually already finished it, but I was watching this show called Killing It, which is on Peacock, which means it was probably on some other show or some channel. Come on. You don't have to make a point of it just because everybody's using curse words this episode. But it's a really good show. It's funny. It's got Craig Robinson in it, who is always funny to me. He also appeared in The Office with John Krasinski, who was in Free Guy with Joe Keery, who is in Stranger Things with Sean Astin, who is in Lord of the Rings with Christopher Lee, who is the one and only Count Dooku. So that's how I'm relating this to Star Wars. But it's a really good show. It's fun. There's two seasons of it. They're already working on the third one, I'm pretty sure. I would recommend it. I liked it.
Nice.
Were you trying to see how many like?
Yeah, I try to make it silly because I could have done it. I could have done it way shorter. I know that.
No, I can go. So I don't usually buy video games right when they come out, but there's been a lot of hype for WWE 2K24.
Obviously.
So I bought it. It has an extremely large roster, including many retired wrestlers.
I've always been told size doesn't matter, but that's cool. You said retired?
Retired. One of those people that's in the game is one Dave Bautista.
Well, that's cool. I was going to say, I didn't know wrestlers ever retired. I thought they mostly either just got acting careers or died.
Well, retiring from wrestling.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of them just wrestle until they're 85.
Yeah, no, they do. Yeah.
True.
Yep. You're either Ric Flair or you're The Rock, you know.
Yeah.
Although The Rock's wrestling at WrestleMania this year.
I heard that. What if he's terrible in the ring and like everybody is so disappointed? Is that possible? Because he's out because he hasn't done it in so long.
So the good news is that The Rock was never a in-ring technician at any point in his career. He was always
just
about
the
Flash.
Mic guy.
Yeah, you know he was.
You mean
he wasn't
you mean
like
the people's elbow isn't a technical finisher?
So yeah, no, he'll be fine. I mean, he already did a match like way after the fact a few years ago, so it was all right.
Well, I mean, I guess anyway, if his whole job is to be clever on the mic and have big muscles, he's nailing it.
Yeah. And then so Dave Bautista is also an actor, and he was in one of my favorite.
If you hadn't
roles,
heard.
One of my favorite roles of his,
Glass Onion,
is him in Blade Runner 20.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
And Harrison Ford is in that. Also, he's in Glass Onion, that was directed by the second greatest Star Wars director of all time, after the George, right?
Ooh, I wouldn't. Okay, yeah. I'd rank George third, but
after JJ,
that could bring up some controversy.
No.
Oh, that's right. George didn't direct like the second, and third one.
George
right.
did not direct Empire. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah,
George did not direct Empire. That was Kirshner.
You are correct.
Who was the greatest Star Wars director?
Well, then I would go Kirshner. So, remembering that other movie, the original trilogy exists, Kirshner, Johnson, Lucas, then would probably
be. Me too.
But Lucas gets automatic number two because he made it. So,
I've said this before on this podcast, but just to hammer it home, I feel like George really shines as a technical innovator and an idea guy, not the details. He's not the greatest director. He came up with the greatest story. Yeah. But I don't think that means he like has to do every piece of it.
Yeah. Agreed. But you got the game? Excited about
it? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's... No. Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. So
nice. I'm going to go with, I'm excited for, it's actually for something coming next week, but it's X-Men 97 starting next week, 320, which features Jennifer Hale as the voice of Jean Grey. Well, Jennifer Hale has voiced many a Star Wars character in her career. She actually has a lot of voice acting credits, but she did, these include Satele Shan along with Master Bastila Shan. In the Old Republic games, she's played Aayla Secura in the Clone Wars, and she also plays one Senator Rio Chuchi.
Oh, how about that?
Circling it back.
The Chuch.
Look at that. Came correct this week, Kyle.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well done. You get a gold star. And you wrote it down.
Yeah, thank you.
That's at Josh who did.
I'm like Lil Wayne. I don't have to write it down. I freestyle.
Okay. Is that what it was?
I had to answer every time I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two of your answers were that's what I was gonna say, but that's fine.
Sorry, great minds think alike, Kyle.
That's how those voice actors do it, though. They play like thousands of characters. If you're a voice actor in the game, you've got a million credits. How many of those people appearing in the new X-Men 97 series are the original series voice actors? I know Wolverine is for sure, but I don't know about the others.
I don't know either. I haven't looked.
Oh, you came correct.
This one's for you, Morph.
Yeah, that's Cal Dodd.
I did see, though, they just let their director go a week before the release.
Yeah,
and he was the creator of
that.
The original one. So that was very interesting. No reason as to why. Apparently he's deleted his social media as well. I'm gonna guess something bad happened.
Yeah, he must have did or said something not good.
Yeah. So I have no idea why, but I did see that. That was like as of yesterday or today or something. So, but I'm excited for the show. I hope it's good.
Yeah, no? Josh is a fake fan. He only collects the toys.
Mm.
What? No, I'm not excited for it because they stopped making the line I wanted to collect because now they're just making these instead. I was collecting those VHS ones, and as soon as they started making X-Men 97, they stopped making the VHS ones.
Do me a favor. Build a bridge and get over it.
I don't have Rogue yet. I don't have Magneto. I don't have Gambit.
I am sure Hasbro will find a way to take your money in some way, shape, or form. They will get it.
All I know is Rogue in this new series better be caked up. She better. I'm just saying. Don't respect the source. Like respect the source material.
All right. All right, Fandom Menace, Kyle. Right.
I feel you. All right. Anything else before we wrap this up and get out of here, guys?
Josh is going to pretend like he doesn't 100,000% agree with me because we're being recorded. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this because Josh is going to get to hear it again. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Yes? No? Okay. Outro music. Here we go.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
All right, guys, hope you enjoyed this week's episode covering Bad Batch Season 3, Episodes 6 and 7, which is Infiltration and Extraction. Love this season of Bad Batch so far. It's been phenomenal. These two episodes were just fantastic. Just a reminder, you can catch any one of our podcasts, previous episodes, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We've got most of them uploaded to YouTube as well, so you can catch them there. You can find us anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Outer Rim Beacon. My name is Justin. You can find me on Twitter at I Am The Bendu. Where are they going to find you guys at?
This is Josh. I am Battle of Tanab on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Venmo. Nope, Venmo's former critics, but you can send me money there.
Oh, weird. This is Kyle, and I am KB underscore legend on pretty much everything. And in case you were wondering, like I was, the X-Men 97 series is like half the old cast and half not, which just brings up more questions, because we've got the old Storm, the old Wolverine, the old Rogue, but we've got a new Cyclops, a new Jean Grey, and a new Morph. I don't know. I don't know what's happening over here.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats living together.
Up is down, down is up.
Ridiculous. All right, everybody. Well, have a great week. Hope you enjoyed the show, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
Justin is quoting Bill Murray, but you know he was siding with the EPA guy. Always.
This has been heavy on the Justin hate this episode.
Apparently. I know. There y'all. Bye.
I'm sorry, Justin.
I'm not.
Caked up.